Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come on and break bread before you every Saturday morning. Amen. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They also the assistant pastors and Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where their leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and the senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. They have services every Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and 10 a.m. starts their worship service. They also have Bible studies every Wednesday. Every Wednesday at noon, you can actually call in this number, 917-388-4161, and listen to their Bible study live. They also have Bible studies every Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. at their location. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can reach them on Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. It's comingtothelight.org. Well, I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
Something has to break. Hey,
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Something has to break. When we look at everything that's going on in the world today, we see how chaotic and how perverse and how wicked, how sinful that everything seems. Something has to break. Glory to God. And I don't know about you, but I can sense something that's about to break. Something huge, humongous, is about to happen. And God is going to get his glory. I can just sense that. Something has to break. There has to be a point where God says, enough is enough. Now it's time for me to step in. It's time for me to intervene. It's time for me to remind everyone who I am, that I'm still God, that I'm still in charge. Glory to God. Something has to break. Well, good morning, and thank you for calling in once again. Today is September the 11th, and the world is celebrating what we know as 9/11, the events that happened in New York and other places in America with the planes crashing into the Twin Towers in New York and one was said to be on its way to either the White House or the Capitol and ended up crashing. And then one hit the Pentagon. So when we look at those incidents, the Twin Towers represent trade, represents money, prosperity. And the Pentagon represents defense, represents the military, our protection. And then the one that was headed to the White House or the Capitol represents our leaders. So the events on that day, our prosperity was attacked, our protection was attacked, and we believe that our president was being attacked. But when I remember looking at the events on TV, one thing that stood out to me was it was an upside down sign, street sign. And the sign, one said liberty, and the other one said church. So these street signs, one was Liberty Street and the other one was Church Street. And they were conjoined. They were on the same podium. And when I saw that and it was turned upside down, thinking about it now, it's and the Lord spoke to me. He said, this is the church's fault. The church has allowed this to happen because the church has conformed to the world system, and the liberty represents Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So the Lord said that Holy Spirit is not being represented in the church. Holy Spirit is not being represented in the church. During the time of the apostles, one thing that was said was they turned the world upside down because of the liberty, because of them representing Holy Spirit. Preaching and teaching the word of God with power, with signs and wonders, with boldness, that upside down sign represented that the world has turned the church upside down. The apostles turned the world upside down, but the world has turned the church upside down. And I'm reminded of the scripture. Y'all know one of my favorite scripture is Romans 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Haven't gotten into the message yet, but let's go there. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So when I think about these two scriptures and I think about that day of 9/11 and seeing those street signs turned upside down, Liberty and Church Street, that's no coincidence. So the main thing that was attacked, yes, the prosperity was attacked, the protection was attacked, and the president was attacked. But the main thing that was attacked was the church. This was a spiritual event. Even though natural things occurred, it was a wake-up call where God was saying, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way that we do that is in his word, representing him, not just representing him, but representing him. Because not only have people forgotten about God, but we have those who don't even know who God is. And then we have those who don't even believe that there's a God. So we have those who have forgotten God. We have those who don't believe that there is a God. And we have those who don't know God. Where the scripture plainly says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Live a holy life. Live a life that represents God. So that's what I think about whenever I think about 9/11. The liberty of the church has been turned upside down. The Holy Spirit is not being represented. And if Holy Spirit is not being represented, then God is not being represented. Let's say that again. If Holy Spirit is not being represented, then God is not being represented. Which means that there's a lack of the Word of God, which represents Jesus. The boldness has left. Because of the church being conformed to the world. Just wanted to touch that. But that's not the message. We're going to get into the message coming out of the book of Psalm. Psalm, the 19th chapter. Starting at verse 12. Psalm 19, chapter, starting at verse 12. And he reads, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The title of the message this morning is The Desires of the Righteous. The Desires of the Righteous. Let us pray. Father, thank you once again for waking us up this morning to see another beautiful, glorious day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Even though this day represents tragedy, we still have to rejoice and be glad in it because your new mercies comes with it. Your all-sufficient grace comes with it. Your unfailing love comes with it. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come into your presence once again, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, Father, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you will have to say to us this morning. Make it plain, make it simple, Father. And get your glory, Father. I decrease that you may increase. None of me and all of you, God, speak your words through my voice. Thank you for your anointing, Father. Your anointing that breaks shackles and destroys yokes and remove burdens and tear down strongholds, Father. Thank you for your word, Father, your word that heals, your word that saves, your word that delivers, your word that sets free, Father, them who are bound and captive, trapped in what we call sin. Thank you for Holy Spirit, Father, for his guidance, his leading, his teaching, his comfort. And thank you for you, Father, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, our Father. Thank you for considering us, Father, for offering us salvation, for adopting us into your family, Father. And now, Father, as we receive your word, help us to make it personal, to apply it to our lives, God, that we may go out and do what you called us to do, to represent you, Father, to represent you, to let our lives be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. The desires of the righteous. The righteous are those who have been born again. The Bible says that Jesus became sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. So that's who we are. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the desires of the righteous We're going to talk about five desires. And we will go back to the text. Verse 12 asks a question. Who can understand his errors? What are errors? Errors are mistakes. They're slips or lapses. It's an act involving an unintentional deviation from the truth. So that's what an error is. I'm thinking about baseball. I grew up playing baseball, and an error in the baseball would be a mistake. I can hear one of my coaches reminding us, he called errors routine outs. Routine outs would kill you. That's what he would say. Routine outs will kill you, meaning that if we can't get a routine out when the ball is hit to you right in your glove and you drop it or you catch it and make a bad throw, that's called an error. He said those would kill us, meaning that in the end it will come back and cause us to lose the game. That's what I think about when I hear the word error. Error is a mistake. An act involving an unintentional deviation. Didn't do it on purpose. But it's still an error. And then it goes on to say in verse 1, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Secret faults. Faults are failures, are weaknesses. Secret faults refer to those deeply embedded traits that have not come to surface or manifested themselves in life and conduct, and also to those secret things of life that one may be conscious of and may be hiding from public view. That's a secret fault. It's a weakness in the flesh. Paul said this thorn that I have, It keeps me before God. And he went to God, and it says that he prayed thrice. He prayed three times. God, take this away from me. But God's response was, my grace is sufficient for you. I know, and I see and I understand that you have this weakness. But if you stay before me, if you continue to seek me, my grace will cover you. There's some things we don't want people to find out. Secret faults. Then verse 13 says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Presumptuous sins. Presumptuous means overstepping due bounds as of propriety or courtesy. That's just being disrespectful, taking liberties, Presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sins, it says these sins, presumptuous sins, are willful and deliberate, rebellious against light and conscience. Meaning that you're not hiding and you're not doing it unconsciously. It's not a mistake. You're deliberately doing this. And he goes on to say that those who commit presumptuous sins will soon be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Presumptuous sins were judged by death. I pause to let that sink in. Presumptuous sins were judged by death. The wages of sin is death. See, presumptuous sins are premeditated sin. This is something that someone set out to do deliberately. This is something that has been planned. And it says the result of those type of sins are death. I always say, we don't know how someone is really living. We don't know how someone is really living. I'm going to leave that right there. Then it goes on to say in verse 13, it says, let them not have dominion over me. These presumptuous sins. These secret faults. These errors. Let them not have dominion over me. Let them not control how I live. Then it says, then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The great transgression, not just a transgression, but the great transgression. A transgression is an act, a process, or instance of transgression. It's an infringement or violation of the law, or command, or duty. Duty. Last week we spoke about the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man is actually, that was 2 weeks ago, talking about dutiful living. The whole duty of man is to fear the Lord and to keep his commandments, to obey him, and to prepare for eternity. So a transgression is an infringement or a violation of a law or a command or duty. But the great transgression is habitual sinning. That's a lifestyle of sin. And it's obvious. It's not a secret. This is something that when someone looks at a person, they can clearly see that that person is living a life of transgression. You can see those kind of people because they make it plain. They walk in pride. It's obvious. There's no secret about it. There's no hiding. So these are the desires of the righteous. Number one is cleanse me from secret faults. Number two is keep me from presumptuous sin. And number three is let sin not dominate me. And then verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So number four is, let words be acceptable to God. The words that I speak, let them be acceptable to God. And number five is let meditations of the heart be acceptable to God. Joshua 1 and 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from me. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Not some, but all of it. Some people like to pick and choose, but this says all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4. And it reads, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Enjoy yourself. Take pleasure in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So these desires of the righteous . If we delight ourselves in the Lord, if we trust in the Lord, then he'll give us those desires. He will keep us from presumptuous sins. He will cleanse us from secret faults. He won't let sin dominate us. And our words will be acceptable unto him. Because our meditations will be acceptable unto him. It starts with the word. I want to read this passage in the Message translation. Psalm 19. Actually, it starts with verse 11. It says, there's more. God's word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. So that's what God's word does. God's word warns us of danger, and his word directs us to hidden treasure. It says, otherwise, how will we find our way or know when we play the fool? Those are errors. Clean the slate, God, so we can start the day fresh. Those are the secret thoughts. Keep me from stupid sins. That's what it calls presumptuous sins, stupid. Keep me from stupid sins, from thinking I can take over your work. That's why I call it stupid. Then I can start this day sun washed, scrubbed clean of the grime of sin. These are the words in my mouth. These are what I chew on and pray. That's what I wanted to get to. These are what I chew on and pray. Chew on. We talked about that not long ago. That the most important meal of the day is the Word of God. Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We should chew on God's word. It should be the first thing we do. It prepares us for the day. Let's go to Hebrews, Hebrews 3rd chapter. Talking about the desires of the righteous. Hebrews 3rd chapter, starting at verse 12. And it reads, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. This is why we should pray that God cleanse us from secret faults, that he keep us from presumptuous sins, that he don't let sin dominate us. When the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, One of the things he said St. Matthew's the 6th chapter. St. Matthew 6th chapter. Verse 5, it says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Verse 9 says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This next part, verse 13, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. Do not permit us to be overcome by evil, but deliver us from the evil one. Don't let sin dominate us. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep me from presumptuous sin. Let my words be acceptable to you. Let my meditation be acceptable to you. The desires of the righteous. The desire of the righteous is to live a godly life. The desires of the righteous is to live a godly life. Hebrews 3rd chapter, it says that here Paul again warns the Christians by the examples of Israel's failures in the wilderness. They were brought out of Egypt with the fullest assurance of blessing, prosperity, and eternal rest. By their sin and unbelief, they came short of the promised blessing, fell in the wilderness, and were cut off from God. Paul states plainly that Christians, the born again or saved, can also return to an evil heart of unbelief, depart from the living God, be hardened by deceitfulness of sin, be cut off by God, and be finally lost. That's the purpose of those desires of the righteous, that we won't be cut off by God, that our heart won't be hardened, that we won't depart from the living God. Because all of that leads to apostasy, a reprobate mind. And when someone gets to that point, they refuse to hear God. Their heart is so hard that they refuse to obey God. And they become rebellious against God to provoke him and tempt him. And it leads to a life of habitual sin, careless living, violations. So, Father, keep us from presumptuous sins. Cleanse us from secret faults. Let not sin dominate us. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, God. For you are our Lord. You are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. The desires of the righteous. Well, thank you once again for calling in Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. Talk to you next week. Love you. God bless you.